that there are a few of you in this audience that never got to be up close and personal with me, and I don't think after tonight maybe you want to. But I know a secret, and I think you have begrudgingly haven't come to that. All knowingness is power. Denial is a loss of power. So how much power have you got to operate on? Because how much denial are you using it to cover up things in your life? I think it's a fair question. So I have the power of a pretense of a Christ so absolute and so becoming, it's powerful, indisputable. What makes a person have the ability to do that and others not? Because they have too much to lose in expose. All right. I'm still a guest speaker. Where do I pick up my paycheck, by the way? I think I want some Kentucky Fried. Where do I pick up my paycheck at? He's a guest speaker tonight. Checks in the mail, which means I'll never open it, I'll never touch it, I'll never cash it. Hey, that's great. That's great. I'm just joshing. But it almost sounded real, didn't it? Almost sounded like you, didn't it? I love me. Don't you love me? I love me. Love me. Do you love you like I love me? Do you love me? I love you. Do you love you like I love you? So, and you think about this meeting we must have had, you know? That one unforgettable, try to cover it up meeting when I bumbled out on the stage of Europe. Everyone went, oh my God. Well, I don't have no feelings to get hurt because I accomplished my objective. I want everyone to think about my message. And I'm not a Puritan, you know, because you don't gain wisdom by an absence of life. You gain wisdom by engaging life and following the law of creating, making known the unknown. So I'm no Puritan. Never said I was. Hell, I wouldn't want to be. So, you know, when you first met me, it must have been a bad nightmare. Bad. Ooh. That's all right. So historians, if you're still around, if you haven't eaten all the ice cream up in 50 states... died of fat suffocation. You know, people are going to say, you know, when I first saw Rumpa, he was ugly and he was vile. He threw food. He had a food fight in front of me. It was a bad scene. I mean, it was really a bad scene. I almost went back to Baptist church. I didn't, but almost did. Almost did. You know what I want you to do to live through that, that came here because you saw the value, because I freed something up in you. I went through all of that just so that you wouldn't have this blame towards God for being a miserable and unhappy person, that you're condemned and you're sinners, like all that bull tells you. You know, politically correct war is, you better walk like a Christian, be dunked like a Christian, and quote like a Christian. That's political death if you don't. Listen, we were talking about the Crusades, horrific murders. We're talking about political death. I want you who are here, obviously heard something from me. That obviously the sense and the pure logic. I argue for God. And I argue against your guilt. I argue against your shame. I argue against your lack. And I do it all, not to belittle you, but to free you. Because no one in your whole life's ever done that. You hung out with druggies, and you hung out with alcoholics, and you hung out with gurus, and you hung out with, well, you hung out. And you ran away from life, and you went out there and had a lot of fun, had no clue about anything. All right. Do you think God is so shallow to ever judge you on denial? Ever judged you on thinking yourself a sinner? Ever? You think that God has made a mistake in life? Never. And it is my job, my lovely job, to show to you what you can be and still talk about redemption. And all of you, when I get through with you, look like angels. I want to do that. Because I want to free your mind. Because you know what? This is in prison. And you know, and it's in prison because you got a naughty thing going in your life. And you're working it. You're working it. And you have a love-hate thing going, you know, with yourself. The greatest evidence to the love of God is you wake up every morning. If you're in a bad mood, you wake up. Moods are conjectural. Choose them. As many of them as you want, you can have them. It's all a part of our own divinity. And no one has the balls and the courage to get down. Show us all what we hide in ourselves. And still in those dark moments, speak about personal redemption, personal love. Now that's a teaching, and I'm proud of it. So you know, you saw me in that. Yeah, you did. And all these teachers over here, they're ashamed to admit it. But they really do think they could run this school better without me. Because, quiet, I don't blame them. Do you? I mean, they have taken my teachings and worked it to a formula. It's beautiful. And it will work. Always does, always will. But they have no baptism by fire. Not one of them can baptism in fire, and I can. But that's my job. Do you think I'm going to go to hell and burn because I blaspheme and I say that all people are Christ? Think I'm going to go to hell and burn and say you're bad because you drink wine with me? When God gave us the grape and ingenuity of evolution gave us fermentation, hell, that's the secret of all transformation in science. And anyone worth their salt with brain matter would know that. And you think God is so limited to have one reality? Do you think you got to be saved and live this one life because you're going to be judged at the end of it? I mean, what an unimaginative preaching. Don't you agree, Father? It's unimaginative. But hell, if they give people a choice, they may not shop at their church. Business. It's all marketing. It's all business. God that I love is about everything I told you tonight, you know? About that moment you become analogical and you start with the critical and argumentatively concept called pretense. Yes, we can argue it on this side of it. But how about when we apply it and we become it? Is it still pretense? Who is to say what is real? Was I it or was I not it? Was I pretending it? But when I was pretending it, was I more real than when I was I? Oh, the loveliness and the deliciousness of that argument speaks to a banquet of opportunity from God. I have a mission in this life. It's because I love so passionately what I was long, long time ago. And what I have seen and been since that time between then and now. And I think it's a shame. God's a business. I think it's a crying shame that men have to create rules and regulations and write books about thee, thou, or thou, and thou shalt. As to presume God made a mistake. When we all are alive, healthy, and wonderful. And I am not certain as to the depth of your mind. It may be shallow. You may be like those animals that we have to whack over the side of the head to do service for us. And the only time they're ever happy is when they come back and eat their fodder. It's the only time they're happy. They're never happy doing. They're only happy eating. Well, so be it, if that is the way it is. But I'm not going to waste one moment not finding you somewhere and showing you that even in your silent places you have nothing to be ashamed about. In fact, maybe you ought to look at it, find the real engines that rule your life. The law of God works there too. Well, I'm really proud of my work in Europe, down under, and in Japan. I'm really proud of it. I know that on a political level, it's nothing to be proud of because it looked like I made an ass of myself. No, I made Japanese men break down and cry. I won. I won. And I made starving Italians who love life and think they have to sacrifice their happiness to know God in some small way. In the books of time are written, a great teacher, they'll say, you know, just like, you know, some of those apostles, you know. Well, you know, in the land where Peter walked in, Peter, get Peter out of here. I mean, Peter had his time in Italy. I think it's time for the ram. You know, the ram comes in and says, you know, you're a happy, emotional, screaming people. I mean, you know, your joy is drama and you love food. Don't try to be educated out of what you were born in to become. You can accept it. Let's get on with being happy. Soap opera-ish, drama, squealing, screaming at the top of our lungs. Yeah. Yeah. Have some more chicken. Like some dull and ugly, dark guru from India moved in and said, Italiani. How do you think people, I mean, they may not even ever remember me, but I mean, if you live to tell the tale, well, first it was Peter, and then we got to church, God help us, after that. And then there was Paul, hell, what a liar. And then came the ram. And it rained all day long. And I had a natural baptism, not to change, to come back to that happy complaining, speaking 100 million miles an hour, doing a lot of pointing, eating a lot of pasta, a lot of screaming, drinking a lot of wine. I came right back to the place that God loved me most in the life I chose to be born into. Along came Ram and said, it's all right, baby. Pass the pasta. So now you get to, some of you made your way and you happen to be here on an evening event with me. You got to look at me real close. You got to study my face. Got to look at my eyes. Got to watch my actions. Aren't we glad we're together tonight? Oh yeah, there's just another little issue I want to cover before I leave here. Wait. I suppose you're probably wondering why we didn't write a book on Thee Thou Though and Thou Shalt. How do I write a book on morality? Where do I start? And is there such a thing? You know, I don't think your children lost in the desert anymore, you know. Did you make golden calves and, you know, get burnt down, you get fed to? I mean, I gave you permission to order ice cream. That's a lot better than a golden calf. 40 days and 40 nights. Which we find out an hour and a half drive. Ha ha. children led out of Egypt, wandered 40 days and 40 nights. No, 40 years. Pardon me.
Years.
Years. Now this begs some interesting questions. What about Jehovah and that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire at night? I mean, by autumn machine, not how the crow flies, but children led out of Egypt, taken to the promised land. It's an hour and a half drive. Who has asked their preacher to explain that problem? Does God know north, south, east, and west? Did God run out of fuel? Forty years, an hour and a half drive by Toyota. You don't believe me? Look at a map. Get your ass on a plane. Go through. Do you want to know the truth? I mean, I think that you ought to go to real extremes to find the truth. And I think you ought to risk getting on the airplane with an Arab. I think you ought to open the book of Genesis. And I think you ought to think about old Ramses and Nebuchadnezzar. I think you ought to open the book, start out in Egypt, cross the sea. Nothing's going to open for you because there's a bridge there. Call the conservation of energy in quantum physics. There's a bridge there. Well, I want you to ask yourself, you think that I'm pulling your leg?
No.
You go to extremes. You get on that flight, you get your ass over there, and you follow the book of Genesis in liberating those poor children of Israel, and you drive through 40 years in the desert. And I bet if you start from Egypt, driving straight through scenic route to Jerusalem, I bet you'll be there before supper time. Now, this is how bad those directions were in those days. Patties of bread had to fall from heaven. You know, like they're doing over there in the war, they drop those yellow packets. They're all over the ground. Manna from heaven. Are we repeating history or what? Oh, God. What did manna look like? Rations. Rations. So that meant Jehovah had flights every day from C-37s or whatever they're called. And every day they were pushing out these rations to the children of Israel for 40 years. Now imagine the enormous cost to someone paying the bill for those rations falling out of the butt of an airplane, falling on the ground, and children of Israel went and collect those army rations every single day. Someone dropped the ball in this history. You take the drive, and then you come back to me, and you say, "You know what, Rompa? I kind of didn't want to do that, you know, because it's the Bible, you know. Well, and it's about God, and it's the good book, and I'm supposed to have faith. Yeah, right." Well, I kind of didn't want to do it. Yeah, I know. I have a little cash reserve on the side. Nothing wrong with that. A little reserve of faith. You know, you never want to put your feet in too far because you might want to end up back out of it. You can always say, I was always a Christian. I understand that. But you know, Rompa, I rented a Toyota. And I drove the route from Egypt to Jerusalem. I drove, 50, 60 miles an hour. I didn't pick up any daily rations. I stopped to refuel, had a bite to eat on a skewer. And I ended up in Palestine. Yeah. So, what do you think was wrong with Jehovah? I mean, what do you think was wrong with these people? Their internal gyroscopes were off. What do you think it was? Who was paying for those daily rations of manna? I don't know. I can't explain. I can't explain how the Bible is so wrong. I can't explain it. Yeah, well, you know, how much it cost you? Well, what are you talking about? The renting of the car? No, forget about the renting of the car. That's part of the journey. Fuel, rations. Wow. $50, $60. $50, $60. And you arrived in Jerusalem? Sure did. Went through a lot of checkpoints? I sure did. Are you rested now? Can you talk to me? Oh, I don't know what to do with this information. I don't know if I was in a hurry. Or if I needed to get lost. But you know, Ram, I never felt lost. Well, that's good. And I kind of think that maybe the children of Israel were lost. Yeah, they probably were. Yeah, right. But you know, I mean, on a day excursion, I mean, I haven't been lost for 40 years in an hour and a half drive. Is your heart racing? Yeah, it really is. It really is. I'm a sort of ashamed that I'm sort of ashamed. I drove it an hour and a half. What, you want to get lost for 40 years? I can arrange it. No, I don't want you to do that, but it raises a lot of questions. Well, hell, it ought to. How can we believe this? Hey, are you ready for that one? Oh, I did it. All right, here's another one. Who did Cain and Abel marry? Who? Cain and Abel. You know, before the big slaughter. Who did they marry? I suppose anybody they wanted to. Wrong. Would they marry their mother? They marry their father? Adam and Eve had two sons. Who did they marry? I don't know. Oh, you didn't want to ask that question. This is like an hour and a half drive. Yeah, it is. Who did Cain and Abel marry? There's only Adam and Eve. And they only had two sons after they ate that apple. Who did they marry? Get it? What's your answer? What? You're tied to religion. You're tied to some negligible faith. Who did they marry? Father? Oh, well, you're a fine theologian. You don't want to ask those questions, do you? Because you may know something. And you know what happens when you know the truth? It's like that thing I taught you tonight, you know, that I want you to see again about those beliefs that I have you to put on two cards above your mirror. You know, it's sort of like that. You don't want to walk through walls, because if you do, your life's going to change with where you're at. And the Bible's the same way. You don't want to ask these questions. Because even though you know, I know, you know that we know, and that if we read, we could drive an hour and a half. You don't want to do it, because if you know the answer, it will destroy a paradigm of all of these fanatics all over the world who have been led irresponsibly on a book that is plugged with holes of doubt and pure reason. And I don't think God made a mistake when He gave you the clear sight to read something, ponder it, question it. Who did Cain and Abel marry? You good Catholics. What, were they gay? Were the first children of Cain and Abel or homosexuals? Fine. What happened to thee, thou, and thou, and thou begets, and who begat? And what begat? I don't think that answers the question. Who did they marry? Did you read your Bible? Why are you coming to my audience afraid that I'm the devil when you're not equipped to answer my question? Who did they marry? Turn to your neighbor. People on the dark side of the earth. I have a headache. Father got out of this early. Hey, Father, you bowed out of this early. You have grace. I don't know. That's truth. Hey, greatest theologian sitting right here. I don't know. Sort of like that hour and a half drive of 40 years, isn't it? It's late. And I could go on for 40 days about how while we cling to deception because it's a group consciousness of acceptance and it's politically correct. What are we to say? The president of a country who is a Christian was never driven from Egypt to Jerusalem. And he doesn't know who Cain and Abel married. And they're leading your life. It's the government. They're protecting you. And they don't know who Cain and Abel married. They're protecting you. Do you feel safe? I feel really fluffy and safe and warm. I feel real snug and warm and cozy all over. Don't you feel kind of secure now? Oh, honey. I'm so happy this country is guarded by a man of the cloth. And a man who reads his Bible regularly. And it guides international intelligence based upon its wording. Let's pray. Let's pray nothing happens to Israel or Egypt. Because it'll take you 40 years for peace. It's an hour and a half drive. I just thought you ought to know that. I didn't answer a lot of your things tonight, but because I don't think you were listening at the first part of the evening, and it's really worth listening to again, because I don't think anyone can rightly say to themselves that they came here and after the silliness started, you know, it's your fault. Yeah, it is. The first part tonight, you know, things I wanted to say to you, because I I wasn't a teacher. I was a lecturer. I was someone you brought in, and I taught you just like those people that authored those books. Well, I have a few books. And so I wanted to approach it as that thing rather than teacher. And I wanted to tell you, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to know my mind a wee bit more. And I don't think there's anyone that came here tonight didn't have access to the first part of the teaching tonight about the marvelous concept was taught here. And how simple it is to engage. To be all the hopes and the dreams of what I saw bubble up in the school a long time ago. Again. And that I'm not an enslaver because I haven't made people become great. I can't do that. But I have a million faces and a million voices. And I can do whatever it takes just to take one little earth human, search for God all of their life, and introduce them to the most powerful, most controversial, not arm's length God, in your face God. That we have to take responsibility for our choices, because that's the terms that I teach God. That awareness is that you are it. You are the red in the rainbow. You are the very entity all these years have been about teaching. And your humanity is like a spacesuit. It allows you to exist here because you have work to do here. You're astronauts on an alien planet. And this God is a God that is does not know the way from Israel to Egypt. This is a God that has figured out a farcical ideology of history, really simply. This is a God that's you. You can't shake it off, can't get rid of it. Anything you say you'll do, it'll back you up. And it loves you all the while, no matter how much you hate yourself, how much you want to hate yourself. God will love you to hate yourself. Only in the end, that one fine morning, make you wish you had more of yourself. It's the in-your-face God, a very difficult masterpiece to talk about. Because it's everyone. No one specifically, but everyone individually. It's the greatest message you'll ever hear. Greatest sermon you'll ever hear. And how can we get silly and laugh and drink wine and fart and burp and laugh at ourselves? Because it's all right. The caustic nature of ourself is got a very unfortunate side to it. It thinks that happiness should be punished. And thereby, it stays sad so as to avoid punishment. And only in that are we wrapped up in our own self-iniquities of unjoy? Don't you have a sense of humor? And don't you realize you take your life too serious? And don't you understand what makes you happy are your fantasies? What makes you sad is your suppression of them. There are no pieces of the puzzle to find about your life. Look at what you hide, and you'll know why you are the way you are. Am I still a master teacher? Did I finally find a question Father couldn't answer? Yeah. Cain and Abel gets him every time. So glad he converted after all this time. I'm thinking you'd be very proud of what you taught tonight. Yes, I am. I truly am. Are you still a master teacher in heaven and earth? Yes, I am. How come you're not serious enough? But I was. Did you make sure you're not going to hell? I made real good sure of that one. Rumpf, is your knowledge insulting to modern paradigms? Yes, it is. Are you sorry you're older? What, 2000? Yeah. So, I think I've covered everything so the body will feel fine today. So I'm going to send you a bunch of runners, and it's all about everything I talked about tonight. So everything. I want to show you, and I said, you know, before I became tonight, that everything I say, Father, is the glory of God. And that all things I say, the power of construction, that's true. Did I move you into my reality? I hope so. And thank you for coming and seeing me tonight. Tell you I love you. Good night. Some stores are open 24 hours. Merry Christmas. Greatest flowers that grow in the garden are ones that give off exhalation of perfume. And didn't we smell fine tonight? Yeah.